Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you feeling it? The excitement is building as we head into NFC Championship weekend in New Orleans. French Quarter will be packed tonight and this weekend. I'll be out there live on Facebook. Bring you some of that excitement. There was a big pep rally earlier today downtown. Tell you about that. Also, there's some video of that on our Facebook page as well. All right, going into the next break coming up, I've got a special song. I've played it a couple of times, but it's a special song that focuses on one aspect of the game that is going to be really important if the Saints are going to beat the Rams. I think the Saints are going to win. In fact, I think it's going to be a convincing win. And here's our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Will Sunday's contest be a close win or a convincing win for New Orleans? 63% say it's going to be a close game win. 37% say a convincing win. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. From Marrero, Herb, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on, Herb.
Thank you, Scoot. I'm just calling to give you some good news.
Okay.
I was really concerned about this game, really worried about it. But we just got an omen, a good omen. Our winning has already begun. One of our fans just won a contest on Rachel Ray, nationally televised Rachel Ray. We beat the other three teams in that cooking contest. I believe that's an omen. We have just started the winning, and it's going to carry on to Sunday into the Super Bowl.
I'm loving it. The winning has already begun.
Yes.
That's awesome. Herb, I appreciate you sharing that with us. So what do you want to say about the game? I didn't plan a show today. I knew we had these two press conferences. We just had Sean Payton's press conference. We've got a press conference with Drew Brees coming up live from Saints training camp, scheduled for 2:40. Christian Garrick and Saints sideline reporter Steve Geller are out there live, so we'll take you to Saints training camp about 2:40. And as soon as Drew Brees comes to the podium, we'll carry that for you live. And then we'll talk about some of the things that Drew Brees said. One of the things that still stands out in my mind about the press conference yesterday with Sean Payton was talking about the noise factor and when the fans should make noise. And some fans seem to think that the only time you make noise is when the team gets to the line because you're trying to mess up the count. But Sean Payton was talking about how it's really important to start making noise right after a play and to let that continue while they're in the huddle. And so that was really good advice. But then I have this text that says maybe the coach should focus on the team not coming out flat instead of fans being loud. Well, you know, that's a really good point because Coach Payton does not have the ability to think about two different things. I mean, Sean Payton does not have the ability to think about crowd noise or to think about the Saints coming out strong and not coming out flat. So I think this text brings up a really interesting point. I mean, how can somebody like Sean Payton be expected to focus on two things? I mean, it's either one or the other. It's either focusing on the team coming out not flat or the crowd noise. Somebody called the show yesterday, and this was kind of a mock call. And he said the Atlanta Falcons have set up a hospitality hotline. And he gave out the number of the mayor's office in Atlanta, Mayor Bottoms, Keisha Bottoms, who said when she was first asked, who do you want to come to the Super Bowl in your home city of Atlanta? And she said, anybody but the Saints. And some people thought, oh, that's horrible. It's horrible. Well, you know, come on. She's the mayor of Atlanta, so I don't really blame her for saying that. But anyway, somebody called that hotline number and said, since this was a call going into Atlanta, the problem is there was no ring. From Mississippi, Herman, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right, who that?
Who that?
Yes, sir. What I want to say is what Sean Payton going to have to to avoid is like when we had the ball on third down in the fourth quarter, and he called a timeout. He came out to waste a timeout to call a play like that, and put us in a position to where, you know, the play is not successful. You know, he had been aggressive all fourth quarter long, and then at that particular time, he decided to run the ball. You know, you just got to just stay aggressive with that the play calling.
Well, I would agree with you without talking about that so specifically. I would agree with you, Herman, that, you know, I see it happen all the time when teams or when people, when they get a lead, sometimes they become complacent and they work on trying not to lose as opposed to continuing to play aggressively, which is the way you got into the lead in the first place. And I think you just got to keep the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, because it was already third down, I think it was four, you know. Even if you throw a pass and it's incomplete, at least you still get the ball right there and you try for a shot off field goal try.
All right, Herman, I appreciate the call. If you want to join us with your comments, our number is 260-1870, and it's area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. You know, I love to find bumper music that fits what we're talking about, and we're talking about the Saints game, and one of the things that the Saints are going to have to do is something that, you know, well, it's on offense, and this song reflects what the Saints really have to do to beat the Rams Sunday. I know, this is such a cheesy show, really? Come on, but it's true. We need to run the ball. I'm Scoot. Hang on. Coming up at about 2:40, live coverage of Drew Brees' press conference from the Saints training camp. And we'll be right back on WWL. All right, very shortly, we're going to take you back live to Saints training camp for live coverage of Drew Brees' press conference and Christian Garrick, co-host of Sports Talk every afternoon here on WWL. And Steve Geller, Saints sideline reporter, are both there. What will Drew Brees be asked? Many national media people in town. What is he going to be asked? What will he say? And we'll get your reaction to what he says. Heard from Sean Payton earlier today. Sean Payton was asked about starting faster. And yes, he definitely thinks the team needs to start faster. It got off to a 14-0 deficit in the game against the Eagles last week. He was asked an interesting question. He said, do you guys think about Mr. Benson? And Sean Payton says yes. And it wasn't just, you know, right now, just going to the Super Bowl or the possibility of going to the Super Bowl. But he said that they do think about Mr. Benson. And maybe they're thinking about him a little more now. But it's something that does come up. And I've thought about how there seems to be this emotional bond with this team. And it's behind the memory of Tom Benson, who passed away last spring. And it seems as if, even if it's not talked about a lot, there is this uniting factor. There are things like that that are just uniting the chemistry of this team. Sean talked about Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, and about the offense. And Sean Payton said that Sean McVay does a lot of creative things on offense. And then it was asked about Ndamukong Suh. Here's a guy who thought about coming to the Saints, and he decided to go to the Rams. So wouldn't it be nice if we make him regret his decision to go to the Rams over going to the Saints? And we'll talk more about the noise factor on our show this afternoon. Also, I still have to get to what that L.A. Times journalist had to say. Let's go live to the Saints training camp right now with Christian and Steve.
We just wrapped up the locker room session, and we're getting ready for Brees to come to the podium right now. Should be another lengthy press conference, I'm sure, with number 9. He's got a lot to talk about this matchup going into this week. And it's really surprising because usually he just speaks on Wednesday. But now he's got he had that responsibility and also getting to talk today.
Yeah, and he's doing that because, Scoot, just to shed light on how this week works for you and the audience, basically the NFL has taken over this week, both in the AFC and NFC, in terms of media availability, what's requested, who has to talk, who should talk. Et cetera, because it's obviously because the networks want the premium guys. They want the stars to be able to put on their TV, the radio, et cetera. So Drew Brees, like Steve pointed out, typically speaks on Wednesdays. But today with the NFC title game, he's going up again today.
Well, this is the second most important game to the Super Bowl.
Sure. You can understand why. I mean, and the coverage, I said it earlier when we had Sean Payton. I mean, typically during the regular season, there's probably 10 media members out here. 8 to 10. I would count 30 to 40 here now.
Yeah. During his press conference, Sean Payton said that the 2:05 kickoff, you know, sometimes people get hung up on these things, but he said that's just not a big deal at all. Usually they would kick off at either 12 or around 3:30, and so 2:05 really isn't much of an adjustment for them.
No, I would imagine not. I mean, just because they've played these – it's like playing a 1 o'clock East Coast game. You know,
yeah.
Just to push back the schedule a little bit. And Sean Payton has been masterful at handling the bye weeks, all different kind of twists and turns throughout the schedule.
So what is the schedule of the players? What's the schedule of the team over the weekend leading up to the game?
Well, today they'll have a wrap-up. They'll have one more meeting. They just wrapped up practice. And then they'll go home tonight. And then Saturday they have to check in at the team hotel, which is undisclosed. And then they'll have some meetings tomorrow night, pregame meal, a pregame speech from somebody. And it's typically a headliner, a former player. I know they love a lot of these guys like Ronnie Lott. They've had Ronnie Lott talk to the team before big games. Avery Johnson, the basketball coach.
Yeah, last week I think it was Isaiah Thomas.
So they'll have some headliner in to deliver the final team speech Saturday night, and then show up Sunday. It's game day.
One thing of note, Scoot, it has been revealed, ESPN found out Benjamin Watson, the tight end, will be out for this contest. On the injury report, it was revealed that he's dealing with an illness, and it's actually appendicitis.
Oh.
So the Saints will be without tight end Benjamin Watson for Sunday's game.
That hurts.
Yeah, not good. Well, and I know. I've been through that. It does hurt.
I've had it too, but it hurts.
It hurts the Saints.
It
yeah,
hurts.
No,
it
I
hurts.
Know. You're right. You're right. It also hurts for him, because here's a guy who is talking about retiring, and this could conceivably be his last game. So best of luck. I mean, if he has his appendix out, he's not going to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. They've made a lot of advancements in medicine these days. I know when I had my appendix taken out, I don't know, what was that, 22 years ago? That was a 6-week deal before I could even really do anything strenuous.
Yeah, I think mine was about this. I think they used a bone saw in mine or something. I don't know. It's just a little different today. So you guys are feeling the anticipation. I feel it all over the city, and it must be prevalent there at Saints training camp.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but again, you know, we just got out of the locker room, Steve. And did it feel any different in that locker room today than it did week two or week three?
No, not at all. And I got to do, talk with Drew a little before coming out of here. And he basically says it's no different. It's a football game, and they treat it like any other. And I think that's been a big success for this team, is not to get too overblown about any kind of matchup. And also definitely not looking ahead to the next one, just focused on the one that's in front of them.
And, Scoot, that's a routine that has served this team and this organization well. They don't make it bigger than it needs to be. They stay true to their routine. I can attest to that, because during the player show this year, we've had a lot of guys that just don't want to go, because they don't want to break their routine. And that's everything to them. That is everything. And they stick to that, and they believe in that process, and they don't deviate from it. And that's what allows them to go rip off 10 straight wins, finish 13-3 in the number one seed, because they have a way of doing things, a way of business, and they don't deviate whether they're playing in the Super Bowl or the first week of the season. It just doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, and that seems to come from Sean Payton.
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, he's the tone setter.
Yeah.
It comes from him, and it comes from Drew. You know, Drew sets the standard in the locker room, sets the example in the locker room. So it has everything to do with the head football coach.
Yeah, I was amazed talking to rookie defensive end Marcus Davenport and bringing up to him that, hey, it's your rookie season, and you're one game away from going to the Super Bowl. And he kind of brushed it off, saying, you know what, yeah, I kind of had to remind myself about that. That's just funny to me to even think that, you know, you're not even thinking about the possibility of going to the biggest game in all of sports.
It is interesting, but Scoot, I'll point this out. What's incredible is, and I know this has been conveyed, I've asked players this week, especially the veteran players, the Drew Brees, the Ben Watsons, the others, the Thomas Morsteads, the guys that have played in NFC title games and Super Bowls, is, you know, they have talked to these younger players saying, hey, look, you just don't know when you're going to be back here. So take full advantage of it. Make sure that you're crossing all your T's, dotting all your I's, you're studying a little extra, you're putting in. I mean, now's the time to empty the tank, if you will.
Yeah, and Sean Payton talked about that yesterday. He said he would hate to somehow be eliminated and think back on something that he did not do, something he failed to do.
Yeah, and that same onus falls on the player. Is there something that a player, whether it's 5 minutes extra of film study or taking care of your body, being in the training room, getting a little extra treatment, getting one more rep that normally you wouldn't get, or two more reps that normally you wouldn't go through. That's the kind of stuff that the players talk about. I've talked to several former players that, you know, in 2011, Scott Shanley, and Harper, those guys, they feel like they left the Super Bowl on the field in San Francisco when they lost that game, and that one eats at them. It eats at them to this day, and I think a lot of the players in that locker room that have been in these big games have told these younger players, hey, look, don't be the guy that 5 years from now, 6 years from now, you're looking back and going, gosh, that one still sticks with me. And there's a couple of guys in this locker room that it still does. I mean, Drew Brees, I'm sure he feels like, man, that's going to eat at me for a while, because that could have been a second Super Bowl for him, and this could have been a third Super Bowl for him, or could be a third Super Bowl for him if they take care of business on Sunday.
Yeah, and think about how the Saints feel collectively as a team after being eliminated last year by the Vikings in that fashion.
Yeah, and Steve, you can't tell me that this team was not driven by that, by losing last year the way they did.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? They'll brush it off. But even talking to some of the guys, you know that – it kind of ate at them and was a driving force for the entire season. I know Marcus Williams didn't want to talk about that, especially during training camp. But you had to – the way that game ended was a gut punch to not only the players but also the fan base. And for them to respond this season, I talked about that before too with the Prove Them Right banner out here. That was a big, lofty expectations to live up to all season long, and they've done that. They've proven it time and time again that those Super Bowl expectations, that this team's capable of getting there. They've got the veteran leadership along with the young talent and the perfect mix with a proven coach and a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
You know, quite often the inspiration, motivation comes from being the underdog. But I thought Sean Payton was brilliant in using the phrase, prove them right. Like so many people had, so many experts had faith in the Saints this season before the season started. And so Sean Payton basically said, okay, let's prove them right. As opposed to prove them wrong. And that was a good way of turning, you know, something that some people kind of take for granted, and sometimes it goes to their head about being like a favorite or one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, I thought that was really brilliant on Sean Payton's part.
It was bold, too, okay? And that's, yes, that's Sean Payton's DNA, all right? And that's who he is. Most organizations, most coaches would have never been willing to put up, I don't know,
we're staring at the banner right now,
110-foot banner. That's right smack dab on the back of on their practice field on the practice facility, yeah. And it says prove them right, and it's been out here since day one of training camp, and not a lot of coaches would have done that. They would not have embraced that, and he does, and I think that's what the players respect about Sean Payton, is he's bold, he's brave, and sometimes he can be criticized for overstepping that. You know, there's a fine line between being bold and then you can be a little bit foolish at times, but he's more right than wrong, and that's what the players love about him, is that he embraces that kind of stuff and says, hey, this is the message, and you embrace the message, and they did. They rattled off to a 13-3 record and won the number one seed in the NFC. They've met all their goals so far this season.
Any sign of Drew Brees yet?
No.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back with more of Christian Garrick, Steve Geller, live at the Saints training camp. We are awaiting the press conference, live coverage of the press conference with Drew Brees. And are you feeling it? Yeah, we're all feeling it. I mean, it is about to get this party started here. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WFUL. We're still awaiting Drew Brees to reach the podium. Christian Garrick, co-host of Sports Talk every afternoon here on WWL, and Steve Geller, Saints sideline reporter, are at the Saints training camp waiting for that to happen. Guys, we were talking about Ben Watson having appendicitis, so he will be out of the game this weekend. I've got a text here that says, I'm a nurse. It depends on if the appendix is ruptured. If not, he could potentially be back for the Super Bowl. And another text says, my mom had an appendectomy 2 years ago, and she was back on her feet in 3 days. So, you know, if it does get to that point, he may be ready for the Super Bowl should the Saints go on.
Let's hope so. And I tell you what, Scoot, that bump music has me jacked. And look, think about this. You're gonna have halftime. You're going to have Stand Up and Get Crunk by the Ying Yang Twins at halftime, and Choppa all at the same time.
Boy, and
let's hope we hear that song a lot. Because if we hear that song a lot, that means the Saints are
rolling.
And before the game, it's a free concert with Cheap Trick at Champion Square.
Yeah. The atmosphere is going to be amazing. Scoot, yeah. I know you're all over this city, and I know you often go to Saints games, and I'm sure you're looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be a special, special environment in and around that building. And, look, yeah. You know, I've considered, Scoot, I don't know if you live in the city, but I don't, but I've considered maybe just even getting a room in the city just to be around the energy Saturday night, just because I think it's going to be electric 24 hours away from kickoff.
Well, you're right, and you might want to think about doing that, and anybody might want to do that. I know the city's almost sold out, so find a room soon. But, you know, there is something to be
cheap,
in.
Scoot.
There is something to
the studio.
Well, yeah, you could just sleep in your office.
No, I mean, thanks.
Yeah, the city is just is electric and ramping up, and I do feel it. And living downtown, yeah, you do feel that really every day. Like last night about 9:30, I just, you know, I'm in my apartment, and I just hear this group of people chanting "Who Dat" walking down the street. And, you know, it's going to ramp up even more as we get closer to the weekend. And last weekend, the quarter was packed, and it was a lot of local people who just wanted to be out and just share the vibe with each other.
Yeah, look, I was at a gas station on Chapultepec, I think it was, and they were playing all the Who Dat songs, you know, Stand Up and Get Crunk. I'm sitting there pumping gas, and there's other customers pumping gas, and they're all kind of dancing to the song. It's a great, great time to be in this city, and I hope the Who Dat Nation, I know they do, the Saints fans, appreciate what they're witnessing. I mean, this is going to be the second NFC Championship game in the Superdome. For a long time, Saints fans were just happy to get a playoff game in that building, and now they're hosting two in the last 13 years. It's pretty special.
You know, it's funny. You have on social media right now, everyone's doing the 10-year challenge, showing you pictures of 10 years ago to current. And, well, 10 years ago, it was the Minnesota Vikings in the Superdome with Brett Favre and a trip to Miami to take on the Indianapolis Colts. Hopefully this time around it's a trip to Atlanta facing either the Chiefs or the Patriots.
Yeah, it is. You do feel it. I just moved back to New Orleans when the Saints were going to the Super Bowl. So, you know, my life was very different back then after I had moved back here. And so I was not at that game. At the game last week, though, there was just a decidedly big difference between another game and that game last week. And I think it's going to be ramped up even more this week.
Scoot, I don't know if I told you this. I've said it on Sports Talk, but I watched the game last week in the Saints radio booth with Zach and Deuce and Robert, and after the Saints took the lead in the third quarter against the Eagles, the booth was shaking, okay? It was shaking to the point to where you could feel it vibrating underneath your feet. I don't ever recall a moment where I've been in that Superdome where I felt the structure shaking, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the dome is solid, but, you know, everything has to, you know, I mean, if you saw how much bridges.
Here we go, Scoot.
Okay,
we'll send it up to the podium for Saints quarterback Drew Brees here live on WWL.
Go ahead.
Drew, we hear so much about Odell Beckham Jr. and Julio Jones. When do you think Michael Thomas is going to get some of the attention perhaps he deserves?
I don't know, but, you know, you turn on the tape and watch him. I think whether you're a football professional, you know, a coach or a player or somebody who really knows the game or a member of the media or a fan. I mean, look at the numbers, look at the results, and I can tell you as his teammate, as his quarterback, there's not a guy who prepares harder, works harder in practice. I mean, what you see on game day is exactly what we see every day in the locker room, on the practice field. Every rep is a Super Bowl rep to Michael Thomas, and that's why he just continues to improve. And he's visualized himself being in this situation before any of us ever saw it. So he deserves a ton of credit.
Do you think he matches your intensity?
Yeah, and even, you know, I mean, it's two different positions, obviously. I would say our sense of urgency is very much the same. Every rep, I try to visualize as a game rep, a Super Bowl rep, a win the game on this rep, you know, type deal. And he takes the same approach. So when we're able to practice like that, I feel like it carries over to the game.
Have you ever noticed how his on-field persona, or been made aware of how it seems to agitate some of his opponents?
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure they hate him, but we love him. I would say some of the greatest players I've ever played with or against had that same type of persona, where if he was your teammate, you loved him, but if you were playing against him, you hate him.
You talked about Michael Thomas. Have you had time to maybe reflect on the fact that so many of the guys that have contributed to this run were almost in middle school the last time the team made it this far?
Haven't thought about that. Time kind of flies by. it was funny. It was just on in the lunchroom, I guess, the NFC Championship game from 09, and everybody was saying I had a lot more hair back then. So it doesn't feel like that long ago, but I guess it was.
You've been here in the city for a long time, obviously. You know Sean for a long time. Why do you think the city and Sean have sort of like clicked so well together? Winning is obviously one thing, but beyond the fact that he's had success.
Well, I think from day one, 06, you know, you go back to that time when a lot of us came here, 6 months post-Katrina, you know, all of us leaning on one another. You know, this was a new environment for Sean. It was a new situation, first-time head coach. You know, man, he had his hands full trying to put together a staff and a team to try to put together a winner to give, you know, the people of New Orleans and this community something to cheer about. I think he drew the connection very quickly. He helped to create that bond. He helped to create the culture here that fits the mold of this city, you know, and the Houdat Nation. So I think he's always embraced that. And I'd say that's one of the big reasons why there's such a connection between the two.
Drew, do you think you appreciated in 09 how much of a sort of a once-in-a-decade opportunity that was? Or was there more of a sense of, we're going to be back here? Or, you know,
well, I mean, go back further than that. You know, 06, we go to the NFC Championship game, right, and lose at Chicago. And I think we way overachieved that year. You know, we had the spirit of the city behind us for all the reasons I just mentioned, post-Katrina and, you know, that Monday night game in the Dome and just all the things that season that just seemed to come together. But with kind of a ragtag group, right, of castaways, and so I think after that season, we're like, ah, man, you know, we're just going to come back in 07. We're going to take the next step, and we're going to the Super Bowl. And, you know, we missed the playoffs that year. We missed the playoffs in 08. But I think it's when we realized just how hard it is. And you know, we went out and started getting some more pieces to the puzzle and put it all together in 09. But still realizing that it takes a lot of work, and you got to have some breaks go your way. But, man, with the right people, the right culture, the right locker room, and the right set of circumstances that can get it done.
Along those lines, why do you think you were able to, you know, this year get further than you did last year?
Well, I'd say it has a lot to do with the character, toughness, and intelligence of the guys that we have. A huge credit to Mickey Loomis, our GM, our scouting department, Jeff Ireland, Sean Payton, and all those involved with going out and finding the right type of guys, whether that be through the draft or through free agency. You know, those have been key contributors for us, not just last year, but this year, and the way that a lot of those maybe first or second year players grew from last year to this year. The mindset coming off of that tough loss at Minnesota last year, you know, where we felt like we were hitting our stride right at the right time and, you know, on our way to another championship game, and to bounce back and to become stronger as a result of that. And to come back stronger this season, I think says a lot about the type of guys we have. And obviously the talent as well. You know, we're a talented young team that I feel like can continue to improve and get better.
So many times coaches want to say block out the noise, block out the expectations. Sean told us on Wednesday, you know, he saw some of the expectations, and obviously you guys had high expectations for yourself. But he puts the big banner up, prove them right. Can you talk about what that does for the team when a coach says, you know what, embrace it and just attack it really?
Yeah, I think a lot is talked about the underdog mentality, you know, and I think that's an easy thing for people to rally around and, you know, chip on the shoulder and underdog, nobody thinks we can do it, and then, you know, you go out and you prove them wrong. But what's really not talked about a whole lot is when you do have the hype, right, or when you do have everyone picking you as a preseason contender and all that stuff. You know, I think it's much harder to handle success than it is failure, right? Everybody's going to want to bounce back with their best effort after failure, and yet after success or after people picking you to be, you know, one of the top teams, it's easier to get complacent. And so I think Sean has done a great job of making sure that there's always a sense of urgency with us and the way that we practice and the way that we prepare, but also embracing that role a little bit, you know, and challenging ourselves to see how good we can be.
And there times when you can still tell that he played quarterback at one point? Does that still come out of him every now and then?
Oh, yeah, every time we have a quarterback challenge, he wants to be involved in it. So, yes, it does.
A quick one on Steve Gleason. Obviously, he was at the last game. But I wonder if you could put in perspective his enduring presence in the community and with the team, and yeah, kind of how that influences guys' outlooks on them.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about this organization as well, in that, you know, you got a guy like Steve Gleason who I think everyone is well aware of his story now, well aware of what he meant to this organization, you know, while he was a player here, and what he meant to this community. But, you know, so much of our team, there's only maybe a handful of guys that played with Steve Gleason or knew Steve Gleason as a player directly, and yet this team has embraced him. I mean, he is absolutely one of us, and he inspires all of us every day. He inspires so many people in this community every day. And look at all the guys that continue to come back to our games, guys that were a part of this program, helped build this program over the last 13 years, that have not just come back during the playoffs here, but have come back in years past, and this organization welcomes them with open arms. And, you know, they're in the locker room and they're at practice and they speak to the team the night before games, and I think they just reinforce what Sean and Mickey have tried to build here with this team and the culture from the very beginning. And I think that puts a face with it, right? And that gives a great example for the young guys who are hearing it from the coaches, and yet now they see it from former players when they come back, and they see, you know, the twinkle in Sean's eye when he sees these guys, you know, especially the guys that were part of that Super Bowl team. You know, the statement was made by Joe Vitt when we were here during that time, that, you know, you win one of these, you walk together forever, and you truly do. You know, it's a brotherhood that's created, and, you know, you may go your separate ways for a long time, but when you come back, it's like no time has passed. You know, there's a connection there, and that's what this organization has built.
Drew, from the numbers with Aqib Talib on the field for the Rams secondary, it seems like it just makes such a massive difference. Obviously, it was out the last contest, but from what you've seen on film, being with the team this back half of the season, what type of difference does it make for them?
Yeah, there's definitely a presence there, and he's a very good player. He's been a very good player for a long time. He's one of their captains, you know, so you can see a lot of respect that his teammates have for him. And, yeah, he's definitely a difference maker.
Is it an expectation to have him shade Thomas throughout the entirety of the game?
I don't know. They haven't really shown to do that, but, you know, we'll see.
Have you ever taken 9 years to get back here? Does it make you back in mind and just think that this might be your last shot at it, or do you think like that?
No, I don't think like that. It's just another game.
He was talking about the idea
last question, guys.
Of, like, the ability to narrow the space in the field you look at and sort of, like, reduce the field in a certain play.
Yep.
Can you explain sort of in your interpretation of what he means by that, and sort of part of that question is, too, like, has the way you see the field changed according to your career, even going back home?
I mean, you become smarter, you become wiser, you become more experienced. You know, many years in this offense, even though we've evolved quite a bit and personnel changes, but yeah, I think you try to simplify things on any given play. And so even though a play may have a ton of moving parts, at the snap, you try to narrow it down to, you know, whatever it is, you know, that you're looking at, whether it's a progression or whether it's a certain defender or a certain area. You try to simplify things so that you can play very, very quickly and with confidence. I guess.
That wraps up Drew Brees' press conference from Saints camp here in Metairie on Airline Drive as the Saints get ready to take on the LA Rams in the NFC Championship. And it's going to be a 2:05 kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio. We'll send it back to the studio for more of Scoot.
All right, Steve Geller, thanks. You just heard the press conference. Drew Brees said some really interesting things that I do want to talk about. We'll get to all of that here in just a few minutes. We'll also talk about the noise level last week and the possibility that we could break the record for an indoor stadium.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.